everyone. Welcome again to the 2008 season of Points of View programs. I'm Mary Wood for the San Francisco Ballet Center for Dance Education. It's my pleasure to be with you this evening here in the Veterans Building in San Francisco, across the plaza from the War Memorial Opera House. This program this evening on Wednesday, February 6th, 2008, along with others of our Points of View programs and our Meet the Artist programs and a lot of our other educational programming are as produced by the San Francisco Ballet's Center for Dance Education, are recorded for podcasting. And so my greeting is extended to you here in the Veterans Building, as well as to those who may be listening via a podcast. I would urge you all to go to the San Francisco Ballet's website, sfballet.org, to catch a program that you might have missed, or to review a program that you thought had been particularly interesting, or to see if you remembered that someone actually said something the way you thought they said it. I would like to introduce a very, very special guest for this evening, San Francisco Ballet's Executive Director, Glenn McCoy. So will you please welcome Glenn? First of all, let me just repeat, it's a real pleasure to have you with us. This kind of fits in our theme of celebrating the 75th anniversary and to have the leadership of the company looking backward, looking forward is, I think, of particular interest this season.
Thank you.
I do want to launch in that with that as a theme. Many of you who are familiar with me and my love of dance history know that I have a particular fixation with heritage and how we are, our art is one of heritage being handed from teacher to pupil through the generations. And I think it's an interesting aspect of that, that in the life of our art, the management is also in the position of, has the importance of being able to honor the tradition. And I think we can say in your 20th anniversary of being involved at San Francisco Ballet, you exemplify that. Can you walk us through this wonderful 20-year career? How did it start? And in the meantime, explain what happens in all of those wonderful titles that you have assumed over these years.
There have been a lot of titles. And 20 years is unusual in my field. Not unusual, I think, if you're with a company that is producing the quality of work that San Francisco Ballet has been producing over the last 20 years. And I don't know if you know, my background was actually in opera. Excuse me. I trained as an actor but wanted to get into the business side pretty soon, and I was at the Metropolitan Opera for 6 years right out of college. And what I really loved doing, I was in marketing, and what I really loved doing, however, was promoting American Ballet Theatre's annual season at the Met or any of the big international ballet companies that would come through, like the Royal Ballet or the Paris Opera Ballet or even Netherlands Dance Theatre was presented by the Met. And I just fell in love with the art form. And when I came to San Francisco, actually, to work for the opera, I was there for a year before San Francisco Ballet asked me to join the new management team. Helgi had only been with us for a couple of years. But I was already very aware of what was happening at San Francisco Ballet from being around ballet in New York. And, of course, since Helgi was dancing across the plaza at Lincoln Center, I was very familiar with him as a dancer, and I was, it was a very exciting time to be be exposed for the first time to dance. I mean, Baryshnikov was directing American Ballet Theater. Gelsey Kirkland was dancing. Cynthia Gregory, you know, who, of course, came out of San Francisco. Natalia Makarova was still dancing. And they were in, and Misha and Natasha were still dancing the classical roles. So I thought, you know, when I moved to San Francisco, I didn't have any experience with San Francisco ballet at all, so I didn't know what to expect. But already in that first season, I saw something very exciting happening because Helgi had just begun to, I think, establish some very important relationships with choreographers like James Kudelka, Bill Forsyth, and we were seeing some work that I wasn't seeing in New York. So I knew that something very special was happening. So that got me hooked in terms of what was going to happen, the possibilities, I'll say, for San Francisco Ballet, and maybe having a part of that, having some role in that. But at the same time, Willem Christensen was still alive, living in Utah. And Harold Christensen was still alive. And I was very, very fond of Gisela Christensen, Lou Christensen's widow. And I would escort her to special events, and we became quite close. And she would tell me wonderful stories about the days when it was really very much a mom-and-pop operation. And to your point, finally, about sort of how the management changes and has a role in sort of that that history. They had to, in the mid-70s, the company, you know, it's a famous story, the company almost went bankrupt. And part of what happened after the rallying of the community to save the ballet was, I think the board really took a look at the operation and said, you know, we really have to make this more professional. We have to make it more of a business. There has to be accountability. We have to be smart about how we're running this operation. And so I would say that sort of the giant of the management side of the ballet was brought in, Richard LeBlanc, who, of course, helped get this building built. He was a pioneer, I think, in arts management, at least in the dance field, which was pretty much behind the opera world and the symphony world. And Richard came in, and he really brought the organization to a level that began to match the artistry of the company. And I like to think that those of us who serve the art on the business side, you know, every day, you know, continue to strive to mirror what Helgi is doing with the dancers on stage, that the level of excellence in the way we dance is that what we're doing behind the scenes is just as thoughtful and responsible and innovative as what you're seeing on stage. Long answer to your short question.
Oh, we can just meander however you like because it's all interesting. One of the things that I remember learning early on when Richard LeBlanc was very much at the helm was that this was something different. And because I was sort of the naive little dancer girl who had just come out of the dancing, out of the studio and into the offices and the teaching roles that I was in, I hadn't a clue about how we got from day to day, how we got from the studio to the theater. And people kept saying, well, what's happening is new and different and wonderful. Well, of course, with hindsight, I've learned that that Richard's concept of running a company was to make it like, to use a business model, is that correct? And that as you referred to the old Christensen days, mom and pop, Lou and Harold and Willem, pooled their financial resources every time the dancers went on stage. I mean, it was quite.
we try not to ask Helgi to do that. it's like any company, any organization. As you grow, you naturally need more structure to support the mission. And I think the interesting thing for me, though, is the dynamic tension between producing the work and making sure that we're stewarding your gifts. We're responsible for the resources that have been entrusted to us by the community, by our audiences, and that we maintain the right balance, that we continue, and I'm very happy to say that we have a very stable history over the last 10 more years of the amount of resources we devote to programming. 75% of every dollar goes directly to programming, artistic or educational programming, and about 25% is in support. In support, I mean marketing and fundraising and that sort of thing. But I think we've what brings people to work at a place like the ballet is that, you know, you can go out and you can run, you can participate in all kinds of businesses, but to actually go in, and even if you are at your desk all day long, if at the end of the day you're able to go next door and see these dancers dance and feel as though, you know, whatever role you played that day contributed to that, and the experience of all the people in the opera house, that is far more, that's rewarding for a certain kind of person. It's far more rewarding than a big paycheck certain kinds of prestige. Thank goodness, or we wouldn't have a staff. Or
right. Circle back to your own personal experience. You mentioned that you were invited to join the ballet staff, but you entered the ranks of administration in one of the many wonderful slots that have manager after them, and I think they're a little mysterious to us. So, walking through your career, what do all those positions actually do? How do they support the dancers?
You know, I actually came over first as a freelancer. The marketing director at the time had never really worked with me, but knew me by reputation, and asked if I would come over and edit a souvenir book in English and Japanese. I do not speak Japanese. For the tour to Japan in 1987. So I came over and did that, and I just never left. After about a couple of weeks of working, doing that, they had a new general manager, Joyce Moffat, who also knew me from New York, but we had never worked together. And she asked me to be her assistant. And I think I was her assistant for 2 weeks. When the company manager, who had been with the company for a few years, a wonderful woman named Tracy Schaefer, Tracy went on to left for another job, and so I got promoted to company manager.
What a company!
You want to know what that is? That's one of the hardest jobs in a ballet company. It is you're all about the care and well-being of the company of artists, but it also includes, so that's everything from helping them sign up for their insurance, tracking their sick days, making sure they get paid on time, planning all of their travel arrangements. If we're on tour, the company manager will act as the touring manager. So there are a lot of logistics. So you have to be very organized, but you also have to be very good with people. And so it's a really tough job, and the hours are really long and strange sometimes. But I did that for about 5 or 6 years, and I really liked that.
I remember those days.
Yeah,
and
you
think of you as the company manager, and you're very much in the trenches.
Yes,
say with the dancers.
Yes, I miss that part because I knew everybody's name in the Corps. Now they're kids in the Corps who I could be their father. I almost said grandfather, but not quite. I miss that sort of, I don't have that kind of regular, they're not in my office all the time, the way they are with the company manager. But after that, general manager left for another job, and I got promoted to general manager. Now, that's probably my favorite job of all, because you have a lot more authority than the company manager, so you can make the company manager do all the really rotten stuff. But you still have a lot of daily contact with the dancers and the musicians. And you begin to do what I like most, and that's the more strategic planning. And so as general manager, I would work with Helgi to, lay out the season. I was the chief negotiator for all of the union contracts. We have 7 theatrical unions. Only the staff is non-union. And so that was a big part of my job. So all the contracting and scheduling and strategic planning for touring and that sort of thing fell under the general manager. That's actually a really fun job.
So then comes this final promotion a couple of, how many years ago? I'm losing track.
6 years.
Six years
in April.
I was
going to
say a couple. 4 years just disappeared for me.
It's flown by. No, again, somebody left. And see, if you stick around long enough, they have to give you the big office. So my predecessor, Arthur Jacobus, left, and the board asked me to step up into the executive director role, which I really enjoy. It's very different from what I was doing as general manager because I'm not as close to the operations, day-to-day operations, but I have a much broader view of the entire enterprise in that now fundraising and marketing, all those functions now report to me. So I actually, the real thrill for me now is in assembling the very best team of directors for all those functions that we can find. A very good friend of mine who is a stage director used to tell me that, the secret to being a good stage director was casting the show right. That if you cast well, the play will direct itself. And that's very much the case in an organization like the ballet. If you surround yourself with really smart people who really want to be there and get out of their way, and they don't do anything criminally stupid or illegal, you can really have fun while you're doing, a very difficult job. But I will say being executive director was it was more different than I expected because I had already been in the company for 14 years. So, I thought I knew everything. And I didn't even know what I didn't know. But this last 6 years, it's been really wonderful at this point in my career to be challenged in a new way and to work very closely with my board of trustees, which is an amazing and very generous and active group of supporters. And really what I find is the most talented and dedicated staff that I've ever worked with here in New York or in San Francisco.
You've talked about the focus of your work being putting your wrapping your arms around the institution and tending it. Is there an outward focus component to your work? For instance, we're all very aware that the art of ballet has become a global art. Barriers of all kinds are breaking down, from technique to where the dancers train and study and choreograph and dance. But is there a sort of an international fraternity that you might be a member of? Or what is your role in looking outward to the rest of the world in relation to San Francisco Ballet?
That's a very good question. I actually am I sit on the board of Dance USA, which is the national service organization for dance professionals. And I've been a member for the 20 years I've been at San Francisco Ballet. And they have some international affiliate companies. So I've learned a great deal about I see, wherever I go, I see as much dance as I can, particularly ballet. But through this network of managers of other ballet companies around the world, I'm able to learn more about different structures, financial structures for organizations. It's very, very helpful to be able to collect best practices from all these other organizations. And we get into some very interesting discussions about the future of dance. And I will tell you that the reputation of San Francisco Ballet among those people who have been in the field, many of them longer than I have, is that we are not only one of the most innovative and creative classical companies in terms of how we're feeding the ballet repertoire. We are also considered one of the most one of the best run institutions, and that's really something that I am very proud of.
That's quite a compliment.
It is, and it's been many years of some very dedicated people building on one generation after another.
And I would hypothesize that a little of that concept of longevity, the fact that you have been a part of the institution for 20 years, has got to play a part.
It is. It's interesting to me because after 20 years, there aren't too many issues or problems that are presented that I haven't seen in some form or another. And so I think sometimes my directors get a little frustrated with me when they, come to me all, upset about something, and I just sort of smile. Exactly. And there's often a sense of, oh, that again. I don't know. I suppose longevity passes for some sort of wisdom. And so
I can imagine, and I've had experience watching other institutions have management teams that, when there's a transition, very intentionally go to the outside, and there's this philosophy of bringing in new blood. And obviously, in our case, it didn't work out that way. Is there a sense, could you just even ballpark a number of how many in our institution have been around for a very long time, and who's the longest holding employee, and statistics like that?
Every year at our holiday party, Cecilia plans a beautiful party for all the employees of the ballet, and we honor folks who have been with the ballet for 25 years or more. Most of them are musicians in the orchestra. The orchestra was formed in the mid-70s, and many of our players have been with us since the first year. We have a lot of tech folks backstage. A lot of the stage crew have been with us for 25 years or more. Folks in wardrobe have been there forever. That they've been absolutely committed to this company for that long. It's we don't have a lot of turnover in the administrative side, although whenever there's a change in leadership, it's not unusual for there to be some changes. And so after 6 years, I would say about half of the executive team, so probably about four or five, are new that I've hired. And the others have been here, some like Charles McNeil or Jim Sohn in the school. Jim Sohn was a dancer with a company in the 70s, and Charles has been working in our education programs for over 25 years. So it's important to me having those people on an executive team because I look to them for more than just what is in their job description. I look for them to remind me and everyone else, that we've seen this before and we're going to be fine. So they help with that perspective, but they also help us keep connected to the past and the Christensen legacy. These are folks who worked with the Christensen brothers. That's important to me that we still have those connections, particularly in places like the education department and the school where you're dealing with young minds and you want them to appreciate more than just what's happening right now.
We want to save time for the folks in the audience to ask questions, and all of this structural stuff I think is fascinating on many levels. I do want you to say a few words about, as you were saying, right now, the 75th anniversary season, the wonderful celebrations that are going on all over the place. And I keep going down this press release with there are exhibits at the airport, there's going to be a wonderful tour. We're enjoying, I was announcing earlier, the idea of the educational programming, the symposium to be held in April. Can you just pull some of the highlights that come to your mind and fill in a little bit about some of it? Maybe some of the thinking that went on in the planning of it.
I think people will be interested in the genesis of the overall celebration. It started 3 years ago when Helgi pulled together a small group of folks, staff, maybe a board member or two, to his home in Napa Valley. And we spent the entire day just listening to him talk about what he wanted to do this season. And the ideas were so outrageously ambitious, we were all a little terrified. It was really difficult to get your arms around it, to figure out how we were going to do this. But I remember thinking about it, and we'd talk some more, and I'd say, well, this way or that way. And one night at about 2 a.m., I just couldn't stand it anymore, and I got up, and I took a big piece of white paper, and I started what's known as mind mapping. I started drawing this thing and all the different components. And I brought it back into the office and showed it to a couple of the staff and said, what do you think? And they said, what is that? They've since blown it up and it's mounted on foam cores. That was sort of putting structure to all of Helgi's ideas. And from the beginning, and the board had a lot of wonderful ideas too, but from the beginning, artistically, Helgi knew that he wanted us to be looking forward, that our reputation in the world of ballet now is really very much about creating new work and about, frankly, a different look for a classical ballet company. We're not a cookie-cutter group of dancers. I don't know how many of you saw Paris Opera Ballet when we presented them here a few years ago. beautiful, 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 wonderfully trained, all very, but I couldn't tell one person from the next. And it was like, it was so homogenous that it was a little odd for me, having watched San Francisco Ballet, where there really is, within a certain range, there's a real diversity of body types and ethnicity and training, which is an important thing. So that what the magic of what Helgi's been able to do is to take all that diversity and, you know, meld it into a uniform style that is distinctly San Francisco, and part of its the distinctiveness is its diversity, like San Francisco. So I think I've lost track of your question.
The 75th anniversary.
Oh, that.
You're already planning the season 3 years down the road. I know
yeah,
it.
Yeah, as we say around staff, it's kind of a big deal. We are, it's interesting for the staff because we're 2 weeks into this season that we've been planning for 3 years, and it's unfolding just as we had hoped it would. I mean, naturally, there were lots of changes in the plan along the way, but the real essence of what Helgi wanted to do in terms of looking forward has not changed. And that's what the New Works Festival is all about. The Jerome Robbins tribute is, of course, important to Helgi and now to the San Francisco Ballet's repertoire. But then there were all these other things that we decided we needed to do to mark the occasion. We wanted some exposure via television, so we have taped Nutcracker to be televised on the PBS system next December. We have produced a very beautiful, well, actually, we didn't produce it, Chronicle Books, with our help, published a commemorative book. I don't know how many of you have seen it. I hope you'll take a look at it. It's just stunning.
The DVD that comes with the book is required.
The DVD was, yeah, again, we wanted this book to be a, you know, a beautiful snapshot of the company pretty much as it is today, with historical information in the text, but not to be a history book. We want it to be a work of art in itself. But we had some concerns about not losing a lot of the historical information that we thought was not only interesting, but really important in terms of the record for American dance. And so we produced this DVD that's inside the book that has some of the most remarkable footage from the early days with the Christensen brothers. It's just a fantastic, fantastic thing. So you must pick it up at the ballet shop. We are planning the symposium you discussed, and we also wanted to somehow create a sense of excitement by bringing in guests from the ballet world, the international ballet world, who will help us celebrate this important occasion. And so Helgi came up with the idea. At first, we were going to invite one company, and he, in typical Helgi fashion, says, well, why don't we invite three? And so we did. So he has invited three dancers from three international companies, New York City Ballet, Ballet de Monte Carlo, which I don't think has ever played San Francisco before, and the National Ballet of Canada. And they will each bring one piece and perform on one program over a one-week period. And we think that's going to be very exciting. And for those of you who remember the 1995 United We Dance Festival, you remember the excitement from having, you know, sharing our Opera House stage with dancers from around the world. We're expecting that same kind of excitement around that tribute program. What else have I know we're doing lots of others.
One thing that was sort of interesting to me that I haven't traveled anywhere, so I haven't been able to see it, but at the airport there's
oh,
some
right.
just exhibits.
Yes, as you can imagine, there's a wealth of memorabilia and costumes and things from 75 years of history. And right now at the International Terminal at SFO, there's a very beautiful exhibit of some of those items. Also in the Opera House for the first half of the season, there is an exhibit of historical items curated by Rita Feliciano. And then, as we get closer to the New Works Festival, this exhibit will change, and it'll be more centered on the creation of work and the process of creating dance, and that will be curated by Muriel Mafre. Muriel has been very interested in the curatorial sciences, I guess. And so we've asked her to come and do what is, from everything I'm hearing, is going to be a very exciting display.
Wow. One of the artifacts that's in the lobby now are the golden slippers that Lou Christensen wore when he danced Apollo. It's that kind of exhibit. Before we turn it over to questions, would you say a word or a few about the alumni weekend? I just can't imagine how much fun that is going to be.
It is emerging. It's emerging as one of our favorite things and most complicated parts of the overall celebration. But we have chosen the weekend of March 14, 15, 16. We'll be performing the Robbins program as well as Program 5, which has Helgi's world premiere on, and we've seen it in the studio, and it's very, very beautiful. And we're inviting alumni dancers, people who have danced with the company. We have a representative from every decade signed up so far, and I think we have about 150 responses, and the invitations will be going out, and we planned a series of special events that will allow them to reconnect with each other. They'll have dinner with the current company of dancers, so our dancers will get to hear a little bit about their experiences in the company. And we will also be partnering with the Museum of Performance and Design, formerly PALM, to do an oral history project so that we can capture on videotape as many of these stories from these folks as we possibly can. You know, when we opened the new production of Nutcracker, we actually had almost 10 or 12 members of the original 1944 cast of Nutcracker, including Fritz Behrens, who was the conductor at that time. So I just got a letter from Mr. Behrens this week, and we're hoping he can get back out here. But it promises to be a really, really rich and, I think, emotional weekend, having all of these folks back in town and getting to reconnect.
I guess the burning question would be, is there going to be an opportunity for the present-day audience to actually see these folks other than just rubbing shoulders in the lobby?
Yes, actually. You're all familiar, I'm sure, with Subscriber Appreciation Day. The alumni will be invited to that event that Sunday. So be sure and come this year. They'll be identified by name tags and when they dance with the company. So you may very well reconnect with dancers you haven't seen in 30 or 40 years.
And I would actually call attention to a page on the website that actually lists every single dancer who's ever danced with San Francisco Ballet, which is amazing. I was just surfing it the other day, and, you know, there are like 25 whose last name started with Z.
The Russians.
At this point, we have saved a few minutes for any questions that you might have for Glenn, and while that hand went right up, so, sir.
How much does the ballet pay a choreographer's money to ballet?
The question is, how much does the ballet pay a choreographer to mount a new ballet?
Depends on a number of things. Who the choreographer is, of course. The length of the piece. How experienced they are, if they're just starting out. I think you probably... I've got my general manager in the back. We probably starts around 20,000, but it could go up to 100,000. You know, depending on again on the length of the piece and who the choreographer is.
Let's go over here.
He wants to know why Richard LeBlanc agreed to come out here, considering how chaotic things were, and that's a very good question. I never got to work with Richard, had only met him a few times, but I was around him enough to realize that was a man who liked a challenge, and he really, really, the contribution he made to San Francisco Ballet stability is duplicated in other ballet companies that learned from him. He was one of the founding members of Dance USA. So he really taught a lot of us who ended up with long careers in dance management how to do it.
Question is to talk about when things might not go so smoothly.
Everything's beautiful at the ballet. You know, that's the remarkable thing about ballet. I was watching the Super Bowl and I'm thinking, well, these are American amazing athletes, but it doesn't look easy to me. I mean, dancers are doing, you know, world-class, athletic, and artistic things, but they make it look so easy. We try to make it look easy on the business side, too, but I'll tell you one story from this year. When Mark Morris came out to begin staging his new piece for the festival, he only had one of the three movements. It's a commissioned score by John Adams, and he only had one of the movements completed. So he had to scramble and rearrange his schedule, which you can imagine how difficult that is with someone like Mark Morris, who's in such demand. But we were able to work it out. John was able to finish the music just in time for Mark to come back, several weeks later. But that was a little nerve-wracking. Every day we would be waiting, waiting, waiting. And, Mark would be choreographing, and, we'd say, well, what are you choreographing? And he's like, well, I'm choreographing as much as I have. But that was the scariest thing so far. But the season's young. So.
Let's see. There was another hand there. Yeah. Okay, the question was sort of two parts. One was, what's the worst thing you can remember in your 20 years? And the other is, will
sadistic.
We see any of the returning dancers dance, any of the alumni dance?
We do not expect to see any of the retired dancers dance, unless there's more wine than I've planned for served at dinner. Crises. I try not to think of them as crises. Every day is a new challenge. There's something, some little wrinkle that has to get ironed out. But I must say the benefits of having planned so thoroughly for so long. And I really give a lot of credit to Helgi for thinking that far ahead, and to our board for committing to the resources early enough that we could actually plan and pull this off. And to an amazing staff that's been able to sort through and, you know, weed out the stuff that's not really, you know, important to mission fulfillment, and to really stay focused.
We'll have time for just one more question. We are running over a teeny bit, but I promise you'll all be able to get to the performance. This question here, yeah.
There's,
Can you repeat the question? Yes.
The question was, is there a program that is encouraging choreographers emerging out of the company? There is not a formal program. However, periodically, the dancers will get together in the studio and there'll be sort of a rough workshop thing, and they'll try their hand, or they'll do something, a dancer will do something for a smaller company around here, and Helgi will take a look, and if he thinks he sees some talent there, what will often happen is he'll invite them to choreograph for the school, which is what Balanchine did for him. And Helgi explained to me that, you know, it's actually more difficult, you know, when you're actually making the dance. Because if you watch a choreographer work with the professional company, there's a collaboration. I mean, they will, you know, work together to solve different problems that they get into, you know, throughout the choreography. You can't do that as easily with students. And so it challenges a young choreographer to really, really choreograph, do their, you know, find their own voice. And so Helgi will identify talent there. Parrish Maynard's a good example of someone who did a piece last spring for the student showcase, and the piece ended up on the opening night gala.
I am very sorry that this is going to have to come to an end.
Me too.
For those of you who might have come in late, didn't see the introduction, I've been speaking with the company's executive director, Glenn McCoy. It's been absolutely delightful. Thank you so much, Glenn. I hope you will all enjoy this evening's performance or one of the performances throughout the next few nights of Program 1 and Program 2. We will see you all in 2 weeks for the Points of View lecture on Giselle. We will be downstairs in the Herbst Auditorium. And there will be signs, so you will not be allowed to get lost. Thank you. Enjoy the evening.